Are you ready to be in the house of the Lord today and worship His name? Amen. Let's stand up. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock. It's not hard to see.
Sweet it is to trust in Jesus. Amen. 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 How many of you know that our lives are better because we have a Heavenly Father? How many of you know that we've been saved by grace only through His mercy? And we've come into this place to lift up His name and to worship Him today. And so would you join with me in prayer as we give this service unto the Lord? Lord, we give You all that we have today. How sweet it is to trust in You, knowing that Your promises always ring true, that you were faithful, that your word says you stick closer than a brother, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. How sweet it is to have the security of a relationship with you. And so, Lord, we dedicate this service to you. We dedicate everything that happens here. Lord, we pray that everything that would happen here would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we lift up your name today, and we thank you that your presence is in amongst your people today. And Lord, we pray that we would leave here different than we came. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. High five somebody as you're seated this morning. Come on. Amen. 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 Got a few announcements for you as we begin the service today. It's good to see some of you back and hanging out with us again. Man, some of the sickness got us throughout the holiday season, and I feel like we've kind of got our crowd back together, and that is awesome. I want to first say that if you are visiting today, if you're a first-time visitor, there is a card in the seat back in front of you. If you would grab that, if Miss Joyce didn't find you in the foyer, sometimes you get it before you ever come in. But if you'd fill that out and place it in the offering bag, gives us a record of your attendance, helps us to know you came and hang out with us today. And if you're visiting online, this maybe it's your first time experiencing our services and being a part of what we do, we just want to say welcome. Welcome to Noble Assembly of God. We hope that you will be touched of the Lord today. Man, we are in the midst of our 21-day fast. If you were not here last Sunday, we announced it and launched it out. We started on New Year's Day, and so we're 7 days in, 1 week in, and we have 2 more weeks to go. And want to challenge you, if you've been doing part of the fast, if you've chosen social media or maybe sweets, or maybe you're doing the Daniel fast, as some have told me they are, continue. Stay strong. The Lord's going to reward you for that. Maybe you have not been able to be a part of the fast yet. Would you pick some days and this week and in the coming weeks and be a part of that? And I think that if we will do that, the Lord will honor it. And we just want to challenge you in that way. And want you to know this. On a side note, don't worry if you struggle with a little bit of self-righteousness during the fast. Anybody ever get a little self-righteous during the fast? Just me? All right. I was walking around the neighborhood last night, and somebody was cooking steak and hamburgers, and I said, well, they need Jesus. So how dare they cook that while I'm trying to not eat? So if you'll pray for my neighbor who was cooking, not being sensitive to the Lord, knowing I was going to be walking by their house. Appreciate that. We want to help you as much as possible, speaking of helping during the fast. And we want to kind of give you some experiences, some things to challenge you and help you along. Not just say, hey, fast, but give you some helps along the way. And so tonight, we're going to have a come-and-go prayer time from 6 to 7. The sanctuary will be open. We'll have some worship music on. And we challenge you to... many of you maybe have already set aside food or something else, and this would be the time to spend an hour this evening just focusing in on the Lord and what the Lord has for you and for our church. And so from 6 to 7, we'll be right here in the sanctuary praying, and we'd love for you to join us as we do that. Coming up really quick on January 20th is our Life Rally. That's our Women's Ministry Missions Rally. Kelly, which is somewhere. Okay. Kelly's right back there. She's waving. She'll be leading the group of ladies going to that. The cost is $10. We'd ask that you'd register and give your $10 to Kelly by next Sunday. The sign-up is right out there, so that way Kelly will know that you're interested in wanting to go. And all the details are out there, so you can read about that. And then just in a few weeks, I guess 2 weeks from now, we'll have evangelist Lynn Wheeler here, sharing with us on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday, January 22nd and 23rd. And we would challenge you to make all those services. It'll be coming right off the end of our fast. And I don't know about you, Pastor, but I'm believing that as we fast in these next 3 weeks, that it's just preparation for what God's going to do in and through us in our church in those next 2 days. I think it's really providential how those days worked out this year. And I'm believing for the Lord to do some tremendous things in those services. And the last thing I want to share with you before the ushers come for tithe and offering is that we have a church family day meal, which is on the fifth Sunday. We're starting to do that. We start doing that the last fifth Sunday. We're going to do that throughout this year, where we eat lunch together as a church family right after the AM service. And this time, this fifth Sunday, we're going to do the soup and chili cook-off. Now, if you don't want to be part of the competition, that's fine too, but we're going to have soups and chilies, and we'll have a sign-up out there where you can bring the extras, the crackers and cheese and things like that, and desserts. And so we're going to have a great fellowship time together for lunch on the 29th, and we just want you to be prepared for that. But for those of you that are competitive, we're also having the competition of the soup and chili cook-off. So some of you, I don't know if Mr. Randy's here, but he'll have to defend his title. And whoever, I don't remember who all the winners were last year, but we always have a good time with all of that. So I ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen? Amen, amen. It is an honor to give. It is an honor to give. Speaking once again, this Wednesday night, our youth will be celebrating what the Lord did in and through us for Speed the Light this year. We're going to have a meal this year. We're actually, I hate to even let this out. I'll get a bunch of adults over there, but we're actually catering in tents. So, yeah, it's going big time this year for our celebration, Speed the Light service on Wednesday night. But I got the official number from the district office, $13,325. So that is a record for us for Speed the Light. And so we're super excited about that. And then next Sunday night, our youth will be headed out to the launch one night. Pastor Chad's going to be taking our students to the bridge for that service, because I'm traveling to Woodward to speak to that section of the state for Speed the Light. And so a lot of great things happening in our church. Let's bow our heads and pray over the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give of our resources. We thank you for the opportunity to give because it's an act of worship. We thank you, Lord, that the giving to you brings joy to our hearts, and it allows us to be obedient to what you've called us to do. And Lord, we pray you'd multiply it, that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
As the offering plate passes by, let's stand back up and worship.
I may not face Goliath, but I
Fill us again, Jesus. God, come and fill our hearts again, Lord Jesus. God, we need you now more than ever before, Lord Jesus. We need you, God, to fill us with your presence, Jesus. We need your Holy Spirit, God. We need your Holy Spirit to come and fill us, Jesus. We worship your name, God. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest.
Come rest on us
as the Spirit.
Jesus, we praise your name, God. We give you all the glory and honor and power and praise that is due to you this morning, Jesus. We lift our voices to you, God, and we just magnify your name today. Jesus. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. See your hope this morning. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone in your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the air. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome with your presence, Lord. With your presence, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do it again. Fire and wind. Do it again. Holy Spirit, descend upon us, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and worship Him this morning. Hallelujah. Call upon Him to fill this place with His Spirit, to fill our hearts. Oh, God, we call upon you right now, Lord. We lift our hands, we lift our hearts to you in this place, God. We reach out to you today, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. As we've sung today, Lord, descend on us, Lord. Empower us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place to do what you want to meet every need. Oh, God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have a need in your body or in your life and you would like prayer, would you just step into the aisle nearest you right now? Just step into the aisle for something the Lord wants to do for you, or you need the Lord to do for you. As people are in the aisle, would you just look around you and see who's standing? Would you just go over to them? Lay your hand on their shoulder. Would you pray for them right now? Lord, we're reaching out to our brothers and sisters today. We're reaching out. We're laying hands on our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're laying hands on individuals that admit there's a need in their life. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a need with their children or in their marriage. Or maybe it's a spiritual need, something they're wrestling with, Father God. We just ask, God, that you move up and down the aisles of this sanctuary, Lord. And as we pray together, would you just stretch out your hand and do miracles, signs and wonders. Holy Spirit, minister to the people today. We call upon you. Do it again, Lord. Let hearts and lives receive your almighty touch. Your almighty touch, God. There's nothing too hard for you. There's no situation that's too big or too deep or too wide for you. God, let testimonies come forth from this place as we hear of what you have done in the hearts and the lives and in the families of people here today. Pour out your Spirit upon us, God. Pour out your Spirit upon this church body, upon us as individuals, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, with your power, with your presence. Let it overwhelm us today, God, in this place. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, rabashiti arabakosata. Oh, God, touch today. Touch your people today, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now let's just give the Lord thanksgiving and praise for his miraculous touch, for his healing power, for his presence. God, we praise you right now. Praise you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Continue just in an attitude of worship and an attitude of reverence for the Lord as we turn in the Word of God to the book of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I encourage you tonight to be here for our come and go prayer time from 6 to 7. I'm believing for the Lord to just minister in this coming year, and as we're praying and fasting, believing God for wonderful and great things and declaring those things. How many of you believe we need to start declaring and speaking out what we want to see God, what we want to see God do in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our community? Not wait until it happens and praise him. It's natural to praise the Lord after something happens. We rejoice, but how wonderful it is to praise God in advance and thank him in advance and by faith. Lord, we're thanking you and believing what you're going to do, and we're saying, bring it on, Jesus. Amen. Bring it on. Amen. You believe that? I don't want to give away my message Wednesday night. By the way, if you're not coming to Wednesday night prayer meeting, I would encourage you to do that. You know, we need to be seeking the Lord in prayer. Amen. And so I just want to invite you to come out on Wednesday nights from 7 till about 8 to 8:15 and pray with us. We have a little time of worship, and I bring a short message, and then we go to prayer. But Wednesday night, I was going to talk about something that was inspired to me by an email I got from World Challenge, David Wilkerson's ministry. It was called Right Song. I think it was called Right Song, Wrong Time. And last Wednesday night, I talked about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. And that's wonderful. God did a great miracle. And right after that, in Exodus chapter 15, is the song of praise to the Lord. And in this email I got from World Challenge, it said they had the right song. They were praising God for what he had done, and rightly so. God had made a way through the Red Sea. A great miracle happened, and he delivered them. That was the right song to be singing. But in the email, it said, David Wilkerson said, right song, the wrong time. They should have been declaring that before the Red Sea parted. I thought, man, that is so true. So we're going to kind of talk about that Wednesday night, how let's start declaring and praising God for what's going to happen before it happens. That's having faith and speaking out what we want to see the Lord do in our lives and in our country and in our city and in our church and in your family. How many of you got some things in your family or in your own personal life you'd like to see God do? You got some people you'd like to see saved. You got some relationships you'd like to see healed. You'd like to see a move of God in Noble and Norman, Oklahoma that just blows everybody's minds. I thought it was so cool this week when the NFL player got hurt and everybody and their brother and all the team and people all over the world were praying for this man. And then the Lord has touched him and done a great miracle and raised him up from basically at death's door. What could happen if we all prayed like that over this world and our country and our churches and our communities all the time rather than just one moment? I believe as we start praying and saying, God, we need you to do this. I need you to do this, Lord. We're calling upon you to do this. We're calling upon you to move in this community, in our church, in my family, Lord. I'm believing you to do some things. That's not my message, but that's good. We're going to go to Mark chapter 2. Continuing our series on remarkable, the life and the teachings of Jesus through the book of Mark. We've been going now through Mark for, I don't know, a couple of months, I think. We got a few more months to go since we're only on Mark chapter 2. I dare say that this time next year, we'll still be in the book of Mark. That's okay, though. There's good stuff in there. Amen? So I hope you're enjoying as we go verse by verse. This way, you know, even next Sunday, where we're going to be preaching from, wherever I leave off today is where we'll start next Sunday, and so on and down through the weeks ahead. So Mark chapter 2, we left off last week with verse 22, so we're going to pick up with verse 23, and we're going to read down through chapter 3, verse number 6. It says, one Sabbath day as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest, and he broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. The other versions say a shriveled hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. The title of the message this morning is Complainers, Sustainers, and No-Brainers. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and I pray that you would just speak to us today. Lord, we've already just sensed your presence in a beautiful way in this service. And Lord, as we enter into another year, Lord, let us be hungrier and more thirsty than we've ever been for your word, for your spirit, for your work in our life. And I pray that you would just speak to us during this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, we're going to look at each one of these words, complainers. You know, the Pharisees just would not quit complaining and criticizing. Every single thing Jesus did, they were looking to find fault. You look back in Mark chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. When they lowered the man down into the crowd, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is this saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Complaining because Jesus, the Son of God, is forgiving this man's sins. How about look down in verse 15? Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? We talked about this one a couple weeks ago. Constantly complain. And then verse 18. Once when this John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? Complaining once again. And then in today's text, in verse 23, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? And then over in Mark chapter 3. Verse 1, Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. They were going to get ready to complain again. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Constantly complaining, constantly criticizing. And then their complaining got worse. It turned into utter contempt in verse 6 of chapter 3. At once the Pharisees went away and met with supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. It went from complaining to now contempt to they were wishing he was dead. A complaining spirit can get worse. So here's a little saying for we need to remember. Don't nitpick, see the big pick. Like that? Don't nitpick, see the big pick, see the big picture. I wonder, where do they get the term nitpicking from? Where did that come? So I Googled it. Where do we get the term nitpick? And it come back to people looking for the nits of lice in a person's hair, making sure they get every nit out. I know you just wanted me to mention that, and some of you right now begin scratching your head like I do when people start talking about lice. But that's where it came from. Somebody looking through someone's hair to get rid of all the nits. They're just trying to find the least little thing to get out of there. And rightly so, when you've got lice, you don't want that. But when you're nitpicking, you're looking for just the tiniest thing to complain about in your family, in a church, in a community, within yourself or with God, whatever. So don't nitpick. See the big pick. Jesus and the disciples weren't harvesting grain. Were they harvesting? They were walking through a harvest field, and as they're walking along, they just reached down and tore off, snapped off some grain and kind of put it in their mouth and munched on it while they're walking through. But the Pharisees, they say, oh, he's harvesting. They weren't harvesting. They were walking through a field, plucking the grain every now and then. People like to exaggerate and nitpick. If they'd have been harvesting, they'd have had, you know, in our modern world, it would be the combines and the trucks out there, you know, setting up in a field. That's a lot different than somebody walking across the field and tearing off some grain to eat as they walk. And Jesus came to the defense of the disciples, and he reminded them of David and how his men ate the sacred bread back in 1 Samuel 21. And then he reminds them of the big pick, and of the big picture, and that is that genuine human need trumps obedience to ritualistic demands. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Why did the Lord institute the Sabbath? To give people rest, a time to rest from your normal 6 days of labor, a time to relax, a time to recharge, and a time to worship God and set your heart and your mind on your Creator and on your Savior. It's a Sabbath time. It's a worshipful time. It's a restful time. I'm sure Peter's mother-in-law was happy that she was healed on the Sabbath. When Peter and his and the disciples went after church to Simon's mother's house, his mother-in-law was sick, and it was a Sabbath, and Jesus went in and he ministered to her, and she was healed, and she got up and made lunch. And so the Pharisees were always trying to find something to complain about, and were basically, I would say the Pharisees were basically unhappy people. Wouldn't you think? When somebody's constantly going around nitpicking and complaining and griping, it's because they're unhappy. They're unhappy. They're seeing specks and ignoring boards. Let me get that speck there out of your eye. And all the time, the Bible says they got a board in their own. It says, first get the board out of your eye, then you can see how to remove the speck in somebody else's eye. So the Pharisees weren't very happy. Everything had to be done according to their rules, according to their thinking. If it wasn't to their liking, it was criticized. George Wood, in his book Fearless, says this: I have heard it said that every baseball team could use a player who always gets a hit, always makes a key fielding play, and never strikes out or makes an error. That'd be a good player, wouldn't it be, Tim? You'd like that on your baseball team. But there is no way to make him lay down his hot dog and come out of the grandstand. It's like those armchair quarterbacks. They just won't lay down their hot dog and get in the game. But they are the perfect player. Church, we must avoid a Pharisee spirit that is always looking for what is wrong rather than what is right. Hello? Nitpicking does not bring blessing and encouragement. Looking to find fault and condemn is exactly the opposite of what the Bible tells us to do. What does the Bible tell us to do? Check out Philippians 4:8. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We're to think on good things. We're not to complain. We're to lift up and think on good things. So let's endeavor to be like warm blankets, not wet blankets. Let's encourage, not discourage. When we practice and we teach grace rather than law, we don't have time to sit around and pick at every nit and thistle. The big picture. was the good that Jesus was doing. The people that Jesus was healing. The people that he was saving. The lives that he was changing. The miracles. The paralyzed person walking. The blind man seeing. The people coming and being healed. That is the big picture. The good that's being done. Whether it's done according to exactly how everyone thinks it ought to be done. And that's the same big picture we must keep in mind as a church body and as individual believers. Let's see the big picture. So remember, don't nitpick, see the big pick. Don't be a complainer, but be a sustainer. And that leads to point two. Sustainers. What is meant by a sustainer? To sustain is to strengthen or support physically or mentally, to uphold or affirm. It's really the opposite of a complainer is a sustainer. We see Jesus being a sustainer in Mark chapter 3, back at our text where we read, when Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand, since it was a Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of him. And then in verse 5, it says, he looked around at them angry and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. That man was sustained. That man was encouraged. That man was healed. He was lifted up. The man with the shriveled hand was in church that day, and Jesus decided to strengthen, support, sustain, and heal him, even risking once again to be criticized by the religious folks. But can I tell you that Jesus is still in the sustaining and the healing and the saving business? Can I hear an amen? He's still doing that, even at the risk of what other people might say about it. Now, you may be here today with a need like that. Maybe not a shriveled hand, but maybe you've got shriveled emotions, shriveled ambitions, shriveled relationships, maybe a marriage that is shriveled, a life that is shriveled in some way. Your life is not going as you had hoped it would. You aren't on the verge of dying physically or possessed by an evil spirit, or you're a leper. You just aren't all that you could be and want to be. Something in your life is shriveled. It's messed up, it's not right. There's a lot of people in our world that are like that. And you know what? There's a lot of people that come to our churches are just like that. And frankly, I'm glad. The church is not a country club for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. The people who are messed up ought to want to come to church, not feel bad for coming to church. And when they come in here, they ought to not be looked down at. They ought to be lifted up. They ought to be encouraged. They ought to feel good. And that's not to say that we soothe their sin and say that their sin's okay. No, we preach the righteousness and the holiness of God, and we preach what's right's what's right and what's wrong is what's wrong. We do that because that's what's going to make them well. But even if they are preached at with the truth of the gospel, they can still feel loved and lifted up and accepted and befriended. They shouldn't have to go to the local bar to get sympathy and to get prayer. They should be able to come to the house of God with the people of God, because we were all of us one time messed up sinners. There's nobody in this building today that was born perfect and has stayed that way. Every one of us have been on the bad side of things. Some worse than others. And to God be the glory, he still sustains. He still lifts us up. The good news is that the Lord stretches out his hand to you into your shriveled life, your shriveled area of your life to make you whole. As he's reaching out to him, as he's reaching out to you, reach out to him today. As he's reaching out to you. I like that old song, reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. He's always there, knowing every care. At the end of this service, we're going to invite you to come forward at the altar time where you can be prayed for if you like. Or you can come and give that need to Jesus, the one who is here by his presence, and let him touch your shriveled area of your life. Just because you can't see Jesus doesn't mean he isn't here. We're so bound to think unless we can see it, we don't believe it. Not so. The Bible says the things that are unseen are really more real than the things that are seen. The Lord is here to meet your need. Jesus had the man with a shriveled hand come and stand, it says there in verse 3, in front of everyone. He said, come up here. I'm sure the man with the shriveled hand would rather just sit back there in the crowd and not let anybody see or know about his area of deformity or problem. But Jesus calls him out, says, come. If you want help, come down here. Let me pray for you. The same will be true at the end of this service. If you have an area that you want prayer, we will pray for you. The Lord will sustain you. And better yet, if you are not a Christian, he will save you. And put your name where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a lot of people that work all their life trying to get their name on some roll somewhere, on some plaque or on some special thing. I want to tell you, the best place you can have your name is on God's roll. You better be sure it's there. You better be sure your name is in his book. Because one day the book is going to be open, and if your name isn't there, you're in trouble. And you're not just in trouble for a little while, you're in trouble forever. But if your name is in the book, you're good. And you're good forever. That's another sermon, another time. But that's a good one too. Is your name in the book? And so, even, listen to me here. I got a star by this, so every now and then if something really I want you to get, I put a star by it just to remember, to remind myself that really hit this point. So there's a star by this. Are you ready for the star point? So everybody say, I'm ready. Oh, good. I'm glad you're listening. Thanks for asking. Even if... I still have to wrestle with the shriveled areas in my life, depending on God's grace to be sufficient for me. I would rather have a shriveled hand or a shriveled part of my life than to have a hard heart like the Pharisees in the story. Sometimes something that we're wrestling with in our life that may seem shriveled doesn't automatically get healed right away. Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed and he said, Lord, take this away. Lord, get rid of this. I'm tired of wrestling with whatever his thorn was. Finally, the Lord said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You just keep looking to me. You just keep trusting to me, and I'm going to take care of you. Don't you worry about it. Can I tell you, sometimes the Lord automatically and masterfully and miraculously heals a shriveled area of your life, and sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it may never get healed this side of heaven. But I hope I don't have a hard heart. I'd rather have a shriveled hand than a hard heart. Because with a shriveled hand, I can still see Jesus one day. But with a hard heart, I may be in trouble. Lord, help me keep a soft heart. As a follower of Christ, let us hold out both our hands and our hearts and trust his wonderful, grace-filled, restoring power. Let's keep believing in Christ's power to sustain us and to use us and to help us lift up others who need sustaining around us. We aren't saved just to go to heaven ourselves. We are saved to go to heaven, but we are also saved to help get others to heaven. Somebody said, what's the reason and the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, first answer is Jesus said we need that. The second answer is you need salvation to go to heaven. The Holy Spirit helps you get others saved to go to heaven. It gives you the power to minister to others. It gives you the power to let your light shine. So the baptism in the Spirit is a gift that God gives the believers to help get other people ready. So keep believing. There are withered lives all around us that need the hope and the healing that Jesus brings. I've told this story before, but it's a wonderful story. It's not about me. It's about a fellow pastor friend of mine and the ministers who are in this church that went to hear him speak last January at our ministers' meeting, heard him tell this personally, but Wade Burleson, for many years, about 30 years, was the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Enid. And he told this story at the luncheon we went to a year ago Tuesday. Right around the corner from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Enid for many, many years was a bar called Chuck's Place. And one day the Holy Spirit prompted Pastor Burleson to go into that bar and to order a Coke. And he ordered, the Lord spoke to him not to just do it once, but to keep doing it. So about once a week, Pastor Burleson would go in to Chuck's Place, right around the corner from the church, and go into the bar and not order a Coors or a Budweiser or any of those other terrible things we shouldn't drink, but he ordered a Coke. And they'd wonder, why you come in here and do that? I just want to come in here and meet you guys who are in here. Talk to you, see what's going on. How many of you know there may have been some complainers that happened to see Pastor's car parked in front of Chuck's Place? Oh, I saw the Pastor Burleson go in there. Oh, my goodness, wait till the board hears about this. But he was willing to risk it because the Lord told him something to do. I had a situation similar to that several years ago. I was going down Main Street in Norman, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me to go into a bar. I'd never been in a bar in my life. But it was as clear as bell. In fact, I passed the bar, turned the corner on Porter, and was coming this way, and I couldn't get rid of it. The Holy Spirit said, I told you to go back and go in the bar on Main. So I whirled my truck around and I parked a ways down from the bar. I wasn't quite as bold to park right in front of the bar. I didn't have faith for that, I guess. The whole reason I went there is I had noticed a particular truck of someone that I knew that was in there. So I went in there and I said, hey. And the guy that I was going in to see looked up and go, what are you doing here? His eyes got as big as saucers. We had a conversation. I invited him to church. Right about that time, we were having the drama, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Remember that? And he came. And I'm not saying it's all because I went and saw him in that bar. But I think maybe it was a part of it. That he gave his heart to the Lord. Not long after that, he died. I believe he went to heaven. I'm glad none of you board members saw my truck parked there. There might have been some complaining going on at Noble Assembly. But back to Brother Burleson's story. He would go in there time after time, and he would talk to the people, and he got real acquainted with the owner, Chuck, of the bar. Later, Chuck got cancer and was only given a short time to live. And he called Brother Burles and said, "Would you come talk to me?" He did. He went and talked to him. He prayed for him. He led him to the Lord. He got saved, and not long after he died after that, when all the settling was done of his estate, Chuck's place, the bar, was given to the church. It is now Grace Place. It is a ministry to the college and career people of their church. Last I knew, they may have changed it now, but it is a ministry there. What used to be Chuck's Place, where people would get drunk, is now Grace Place, where people can get God. I'm glad that we get to be sustainers in a world where there's a whole lot of shriveled stuff going on. There's a whole lot of lives that are shriveled out there. And we need to be a people and followers of God that want to make a difference, want to do something for the kingdom, even at the risk of a complainer seeing us. Let's move on to number three. Complainers, sustainers. Number three, no-brainers. The definition of a no-brainer is something that requires or involves little or no mental effort. You're saying, "Well, Pastor Steve, where's the no-brainer here in this passage?" Well, I found it in verse 4 of chapter 3. Then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer. You see, that is a no-brainer of a question. The Pharisees would not answer the no-brainer of a question. When Jesus said, "Is it right to do evil or to do good? Is it right to save life or destroy it on the Sabbath?" The answer is a no-brainer. It's always good to do good. And it's always right to do right. It's always right to save. Well, I'll tell you what. At least they should have answered when he asked that, instead of not answering. At least they should have said this: "Well, it's unlawful on any day to do evil or to kill." Shouldn't they? They should have said, "Well, we know, yeah, it's not right to do evil on any day or to kill someone." But they wouldn't even answer that. You see, Jesus teaches that there is never a time when we are exempt from doing good. This is something we must think about every day. What am I going to do today, good or evil? How am I going to act today, good or evil? Am I going to do something good today, or am I going to do something bad today? Am I going to help somebody, or am I going to tear down somebody? We can't remain silent on this like the Pharisees did. It's always a day to do good. There was always something good we can do every single day. There is someone I can help. There is someone or something I can pray for. There is a note or a letter that I can write. There is a text or an email that I can send. There is a person that I can witness to. There is a talent that I can use. There is a person I can visit. And so on. Jesus awaits our answer every day to what we can do for him. Star by this. This is critical right here. When we don't do that, When we don't answer, we actually join with the Pharisees and the supporters of Herod on how to kill Jesus. You say, no, you can't lump me into that. I'm not considering how to kill Jesus if I don't do something good. No, you're not going to kill Jesus. Jesus is alive forevermore. He's seated at the Father's right hand. And any moment I'm thinking the Father's going to say, Jesus, go get your children. Go get the bride. He's probably fixing to come back. But no, we don't kill him physically, but we can kill his work, his influence, his church in our community when we don't do good. When we choose not to act on the word of God and use our talents or use what we can do and choose to do good every day, we help kill what God wants to do in our community, in our church, and in our families. When we don't pray as God wants us to pray, oh, you better help me now. When we don't fast like God wants us to fast, when we don't do all these things and come to prayer meeting, I'm going to get real bold here, because we'd rather watch what's on TV on Wednesday night. We're helping kill like the Pharisees. We must want the word and the work of God to thrive and to be alive. Amen? A city on a hill. The Bible says our church is to be like a city on a hill. We're like a city on a hill. A gathering that shines out the gospel. Amen? It's always a day to do good. It's a no-brainer. In conclusion, as musicians come, the famous and very successful football coach, Bear Bryant, how many have heard of Bear Bryant? Often told reporters, I'd croak in a month if I quit coaching. After 25 years as the head coach at his alma mater, Bryant announced he would be stepping down at the end of the season. On December the 29th, 1982, he coached his Alabama football team for the last time in the Liberty Bowl against Illinois. December the 29th, 1982. On January the 26th, 1983, he died of a massive heart attack. Less than a month later. Every one of us needs a reason to live, a compelling cause and purpose that keeps us going when we would rather quit. We all face obstacles that hinder us and make it difficult at times. Some people allow obstacles to stop them, others overcome. The difference is not in the obstacles, but in the determination and drive of the person who faces the obstacles. Our reason for going on, our reason for living, our reason for getting up every day is to do good and to bring God glory. There will be obstacles. There will be trials all along the way. But I trust that we will all endeavor to be sustainers and seriously answer each day Jesus' no-brainer. What are you going to do today? Heal or kill? Do good or do evil? And I trust as well that we will all endeavor not to be complainers and instead be encouragers. That's what the world needs. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the message today. And Lord, as we bring this service to the altar call time, I pray, Lord, that if there are people here today that come forward and admit that there's something shriveled in their life and they would like prayer, that you would indeed touch them Lord, I pray that you would help us all to determine to do good every day, to determine to do all the different things we can to be that city on a hill. To be that light that's not hidden under a bushel. Help us, Lord. Reach out and touch your people today. Reach out to us, Lord, today, we pray. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I'd just like to invite all who would like to come forward around these altars to come forward. If you would like special prayer for an area, Pastor Phil and I will be right down here, and any other ministers who want to help us. But let's just have a time of praying and saying, God, help me to be a light for you. Help me to be a sustainer. Lord, help me to answer the question every single day by my actions to do good and not evil. Can we do that today as the musicians lead us in a time of worship?
This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. And we sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. There's resurrection. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything in the name of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. We fix our eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working.
to the feet of Jesus, everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. So we sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything in the name of Jesus. Everything at the feet of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We praise your name. Praise you, Jesus. Let your spirit be in this place. Praise you, God. Jesus. Jesus. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender.
I will make room for you.
How many of you, that's your prayer to the Lord? God, whatever you want to do in me, do it. Whatever you want to do in my family, whatever you want to do in this church, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. I make room for you. Lord, I don't want last year or this year to be like last year. Lord, I want this year to be better. I want to press in harder to what you want for my life. That I can be a witness for you. That I can be an example for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Would you stand together? Hallelujah. I love you. Appreciate each one of you. Praise God that you're here on this Sunday morning. You're here to grow closer to the Lord. He certainly wants us all to draw closer to Him and see things we've never seen before. Amen. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to let my longtime friend Mark Lewis close us in prayer. Come here, Mark.
Lord, we just thank you for this day and just thank you for the time that you allow us to come here with our church family and friends, Lord. Just remind us every time that we leave this place, just like the sign has always been there since we first started coming here 20 years ago, Lord, that we leave these walls, but we enter our ministry field, Lord. And it is always a good day to do a good thing, and it's always the right time to do the right thing, Lord. And we thank you for always doing the right thing for us. Lead us, Lord. Just guide our steps, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you're doing in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.